I'm going to begin reading at verse 31 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave all. And certainly he could say that, Lord, what he said here in the Word of God, because he was completely and fully a giver. He gave himself, he gave his life, that we might have eternal life. And Lord, he teaches in his word that he wants us to be that way. And so I ask you tonight to just help us in this simple truth tonight, that Father, that it'll just help us to be more like Jesus. And I just ask you as we preach, I need your power, your wisdom. I need you, Father. There'll be nothing accomplished without you. And I just ask you, please, to help this preacher tonight. The will of God be done in the blessed, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. And because of his shed blood, we ask these things. Amen. Tonight I'm going to, Lord willing, bring a message. And I've entitled this. I've been toying with this for about 3 weeks. I've entitled the message, Don't Wait Till You're Rich to Learn How to Give. Don't wait till you're rich to learn how to give. Now the text here tells us that Jesus had said, the Lord had said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now because of that, everyone in this room can say amen to that because Jesus said it. It's true. Jesus says it. It's true. And so it's a like, you know, kind of like John 3:16. We love John 3:16. I do. And I'm sure you do too. But this is just as true as John 3:16. And I think that's something that we as Christians sometimes forget, that all of the Word of God is inspired, and it is His Word. Some years back, I don't know whether I preached the message here or not, can't remember. I don't know what's the matter with me. But life is going by and my memory is going out. I preached a message which I've entitled, I Decided to Believe the Bible as the Word of God. And you say, Brother Ross, didn't you always believe that? Yes. I mean, I got saved. I was taught I should believe the Bible. It was God's Word and I should believe it. But there come a time after I was saved when God simply said, now I want you to truly believe the Word of God. I want you to understand that when I speak in my Word, it is true. No matter how small the statement or how great the truth. And when I began to look at the Word of God that way, it changed my life. And this statement that it is more blessed to give than to receive is true. It's the Word of God. And so I say to you, we need to listen to that. Now, I want to go over in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter book of Luke. We're going to read some scripture to start off our message and kind of get that behind us. But we want to read some things so it'll set the stage for our message. Now, over in Luke, the 14th chapter, and verse number 7, I want to begin to read. He says, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then he said also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. You understand that scripture. He's simply saying, if you want to do something really good and proper, you don't just invite your friends, because your friends probably will invite you back over sometime and recompense to you what you have done for them. But here's what he says. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, the lame, the blind. And listen, in verse number 14, I believe, is where the writer of Acts got the statement about our Lord saying, blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive, because he says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. He said it's a wonderful thing to give. We all like to receive. God says it's much better to give. And he said, don't worry about it. And this is one of the things that I want to stress tonight. In our giving, we ought to really be careful about how much we brag about it. Because I just kind of happen to believe, if I read the scriptures correctly, when we get in on that bragging bit and telling people how good we are and how great we have our reward. But the Word of God says here that he's going to recompense to us. He's going to do it at the resurrection of the just. God will take care of all of that. But Jesus was saying it's much more blessed to give than to receive. Now I want you to go over with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, please, the 12th chapter. Chapter of the book of Mark, in verse number 41, he says, and Jesus sat over against the treasure and beheld how the people cast money into the treasure. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasure. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, when I read this, I do not really see Jesus condemning what the rich people did. It was a matter of fact. I'm not saying that they gave enough, but I don't think he was condemning. He just simply said, I want you to understand, they gave out of their abundance. She gave all she had. She gave her whole living. That's very important if it'll help us on down the road here. Let's go to another portion of Scripture. We'll come back to that one if you want to hold your place there. Over in 1 John, please. 1 John, the 3rd chapter of 1 John. In verse 11, he says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. I want you to notice this, because he's going to tell us the love of God. He's going to show us the love of God. He said, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Did you notice what he's saying? He said, if we see a brother that has need, and he says, and we just pass by that, do nothing about it. He said, how does the love of God dwell in us? How can that be? Because the love of God was showing us in what Jesus did in laying down his life for us. We ought, he says, to lay down our life for the brother. Okay, we're just talking about giving. Okay, so let's just get through some scripture, and then we'll show you how it all ties in. Okay, so we find then over now in the book of Luke, the 3rd chapter, and let me say again and stress this, that true giving comes from the love of God. True giving comes from the love of God. Remember that statement. Over in the book of Luke, the 3rd chapter of the book of Luke, verse number 11, he says, he answers and saith to them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Now he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, Let me go back up, because I think I've skipped a verse of Scripture. Did I read verse 11? He answered and saith unto him, he that hath two coats, yes, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. I want to just stress for a moment that this is not big giving. This is not abundance of giving. What he's saying, that even giving a coat to someone, it's what we ought to do. You remember when he said a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus? You see, sometimes we get in our mind that if we can't give multitudes, if we can't give bunches of things, that the little things doesn't matter. You know, I would read this verse of Scripture, and it's been quite a few years back when this happened, that I was over visiting a family over in Carlisle, right outside of Carlisle. And it was a family I knew of, and I was visiting them and talking with them. And I had the opportunity before I left, they asked me if I would talk to their son, who was about probably 8, 9, maybe 10 years old, about the Lord. They said, we just don't know how to do it, but he's been asking us a lot of questions. And so I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. We sat probably for another 20-25 minutes going very carefully over the Scriptures with this young boy. He was very attentive, listened very carefully, asked me some questions as we went along. When we got done, I said, son, would you want to receive Christ? He said, yes, I would. And he received Christ and was saved. In fact, Brother Simpson baptized him soon after that. And so anyway, as I was getting ready to leave, she came to the door with me, and she said, Pastor, we just don't have anything to eat. we don't have any food. And I said, okay. I said, I can take care of that. We can do that. You know, that's what we do. We can take care of it. She said, and she made a statement. And she said, we haven't had any meat for weeks. And I said, okay. Well, I got in my car, and on the way home, I had just read that verse of Scripture, that portion of Scripture. And so God said to me, you do. Don and I had just butchered about 3 or 4 months before that. We had plenty of meat in the freezer. And God said, you have meat. And so we went home, and Don and I gathered the meat together. I'm not telling you this to, you understand? It's just an example I want to share with you because it's important. But we gathered together some meat. We took it over to them. We took other groceries. We got all them together and took them to them. But what I'm saying, sometimes we think that if we can't give $1,000 or $500 or whatever it is, that we just are incapable of giving. That is wrong. Would God please deliver me from the prayer of anybody that says in the church, God bless the givers and those who cannot give?
Yes, sir.
And it makes me sick. Now, I think sometimes people pray that because they don't think what they're praying. I don't think they're trying to be wrong, but I don't think they think what they're praying, because folks, listen to me. Every one of us, as we will show, has something to give. Every one of us. And it would be a blasphemous thing for someone to say that God had treated a person in this church so badly that he gave them absolutely nothing to give. That's not my God. Now, it may not be that they have what somebody else would have, but as we will see in a little while, everybody has something to give, even if it's a package of meat, even if it's a gallon of milk, even if it's a cup of water, in the name of Jesus. You see, you don't have to be rich to give. Amen? You see, if you have a giving heart, let me say this to you, and this is important because you must have a heart that's tender to the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ about this matter. Because if you have a tender heart, God will bring you into contact with those who have need. I've seen that all down through our life. God will bring you into contact. If you have offered unto God all you have, and whatever God wants of you, you're willing to do it, your heart is tender toward Him, and you're willing to listen to Him, I'll guarantee you, He will speak to you and bring you into contact with those who have need. Amen. Because some people said to me, well, I don't know who to give to. I don't. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I have never had that problem. Not since we turned everything over to Him. Because I just happen to believe the Word when He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. I just happen to believe that's just not, you know, not all the ways of life, but that's the everyday things of life. That God will guide us and God will direct us. And I believe, as our pastor's been speaking about, you know, it's the importance of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, and yield us unto the Holy Spirit of God in our life, that He will guide us every day of our life, and even the smallest matters of life. And when He says it is more blessed to give than to receive, He expects us to give. And He will set up what needs to be set up to see to it that we give the right place. We'll talk about that in just a moment, you see. You see, if you have a giving heart, if you have a heart that says, Lord, what I have is yours. It's at your disposal. You can do with it whatever you want to do with it. God will bring you into contact with those He wants you to give to. Amen?
Yeah.
See, don't wait till you're rich to begin to live. You're going to miss out on the very most wonderful blessing that you could ever receive. Let me say something to you. Most of us are not going to ever get rich. A lot of them wish for it, you know. A lot of people wish for it. They say, boy, if I had $1 million, this is what I would do. Have you ever said that? No? I bet you there's not too many people in here that haven't said that. If I just had $1 million, God, I'll tell you what I would do. He knows better than that. He's God. He's smarter than us. Amen. But all of us, you know, say that. Well, no. You heard about the farmer, didn't you, that was in this church? And talking to the pastor one day, the church was having some hard, difficult times. And he said to the pastor, Pastor, if I had 100 hogs, I'd give the church 50 of them. Well, he said, Ben, that's wonderful. He said, if you had 50, would you give them 25? He said, absolutely. If I had 50 hogs, I'd give them 25. Pastor? Well, he said, Ben, if you had 4, would you give 2? He started stuttering. He said, Pastor, that's not fair. You know I got 4. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying, you know, we want to talk about one of these days, if I had this or if I had that, I'll do this or I'll do that. Why don't you just do what you can do? You know, God honestly is not out looking for millionaires. It would scare me to death to have a millionaire in our church. Maybe it won't, our pastor, I don't know. But it would scare me. Scare me to death to have to deal with a millionaire. Amen. But anyway, it's the common person. It's the person from day to day. It's the person that puts in their tithes and offerings in the offering every week that has supported this church for the last 35 years. That's who's done it. Amen? Now, I'll tell you something. Our pastor, he ought to get up and encourage us. He ought to get after us. He ought to remind us of what we ought to do. He has to do that. He carries a load that most of you never will know. I carried it for many years. You worry, you fret. Now, I don't mean you worry wrongly. You're just concerned about the church. And where's the money going to come from? And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? I want to tell you something. He carries a burden. He carries a load. And we could help lift that load if all of us would just be what we ought to be and give what God tells us to give. And I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. That's all God asks. Amen? That's all the Lord asks. But we must learn to give from what we have. Amen? Just give from what we have. Now, in the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, go back to that. I want to deal a moment with abundance. You'll notice in verse 41 through 44, Jesus sat over against the treasurer. Behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, do you remember that? You notice that? They were rich. They cast in much. And then he says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say to you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasure. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I've wondered, sometimes I do that, I've wondered about this dear widow lady. She came along and she put in her 2 mites. That's all she had. I mean, that's all she had. That's what Jesus said. And I got to wondering sometime on her way home if she wondered and got to thinking about this and said, what have I done? How am I going to live the rest of the time till I would get any more money? What am I going to do? I don't know that she did this, but I wonder sometimes. But I can see this dear lady coming closer and closer to her home, and all at once looking, see, that looks like somebody sitting on my front porch. Who could that be? She gets closer and closer. Well, she said, "That's Zacchaeus. I know him." She gets up there, and Zacchaeus said, "Yeah, I got saved, and I told the Lord I'd give half of my goods to the Lord, to the poor. And so I brought you by a bunch of groceries." You know what? I'll guarantee you one thing. She didn't go without. Amen. But Jesus said she gave because she gave all she had. Everything. Now he said the rich people gave out of their abundance. Now again, I'm not saying that he was saying that's terrible, that's wrong, but he was making a statement. He was giving us a true fact. What they did was gave out of their abundance. You know, I look back in the Old Testament and I remember when they were building the tabernacle and God stirred up the hearts of those who had a lot of riches, and they brought all kinds of things into the tabernacle. In fact, there came a day when old Moses, who had given the instructions what was needed, that had to run out and say, "That's enough. Don't bring any more." Wouldn't you like that, Pastor? "Just don't bring any more." Amen? You see, and so what I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong, and it's a wonderful thing when people have abundance that they give out of that abundance. That's wonderful. It's good. It's what should happen. It's what they should do, you see. Now, David, when David began to get ready to build the temple, and God wouldn't let him do it, he said, "Your son Solomon's going to build it." But David brought all kinds of riches together. David was a rich man. And he brought all kinds of riches together and got ready and provided all kinds of things for the building of the temple. There's nothing wrong with that. That was good. Those who have abundance, it was good and proper that they should give. But Jesus was speaking on a personal note. She gave more because she gave all. She gave everything. Can you imagine that? Just giving all, giving everything that you have. That's what she did. Amen? So what we need to do, and let me say to you, I thank God for those who give out of their abundance. That's a good and proper thing. But I think that if we do that, we need to look more at what we have left than what we give. I want to use an illustration. Alright? Jesse, you're a rich man. You have in the bank $100,000. Amen. Amen. Who are we going to use here? Lynette, you're just a poor widow girl. You've only got in the bank $100. That's it. That's all you got. Both of you, not knowing what the other one was doing, decided they were just going to give 10% of what they had in the bank. So Lynette gives $10. Jesse gives $10. I want to ask you how much Lynette has left. 90 bucks.
Wow.
How much does Jesse have? $90,000.
Yeah. Come on.
I think we better get to looking how much we got left more than we how much we're giving. Mm-hmm.
Amen?
You see, I think that's the way God looks at it. Now let me say, I'm not saying that God was against them having some left. But I'm saying to you, we better get our hearts in the right place. We better learn how to give from the prospect of where we're at. She can't give $10,000. She don't have it. But he could give $10,000 and not miss it. 90,000 left. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So what I'm saying to you is this. Some people with abundance think that they ought to keep that abundance. That they always ought to have abundance. And I don't know if that's the way God looks at it or not. You hear me? You see, people with abundance fight a battle. Because they do not really want to get rid of that abundance. It's hard for them. And yet a widow can go up and throw her 2 mites in. Lynette could put her $10 in and only have $90 left. Who gave the most? Now, I've seen a lot of things in life. I've pastored and preached for 38 going on 39 years. Some of you folks that's older, you've seen a lot of things in life. I've seen a whole lot of things, you see. Pastor Jerry always tells us, and he's telling us, he said, you know, I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. I drove the truck in. That's what he says. He tells us what he's trying to explain to us. He didn't just get saved yesterday. He just didn't start preaching yesterday. He's been around for a while. Pastor, I planted the turnips and harvested them. So I just want you to know, I saw a lot of things. Amen. Now let me share something with you, what I have saw. I have had the privilege of working with some of the most wonderful people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that any pastor could ever want to be with. And I'm serious. Not just saying it, I'm serious. I have had the privilege of working with some givers that just give. Some of them give out of their abundance. And that's okay. But what I'm saying to you is, I want you to understand before I make this next statement, that it's been a privilege. And to watch God do what He's done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a miracle. It's wonderful. It's good. It's proper. And it took people like you that is willing to give and to sacrifice. And I question the fact, I don't know about you, if you've ever thought about it, I question the fact if any one of us ever really sacrifices. Now I'm talking about sacrifice. Something you ought to check out. Jesus sacrificed. I'm just saying, did we, any of us, really sacrifice? See, I don't know. I'll let you answer that. But I have said, and I just want you to know, I saw multitudes and multitudes of wonderful people, and not all that had abundance, some had very little, but they gave. Consistently, every week, they gave. That's the way it's supposed to be. But now I want to make a statement. I've also seen cheapskates. That will not give out of their abundance. I've pastored, like I say, and preached for around 30, close to 39 years. I've seen a lot of things. I remember back when my wife and I was raising our 4 children. We wasn't making much money. You understand? That's not saying in condemnation. I'm just telling you. Did you know that this pastor, it was 1993 before he ever made over $17,000 in his whole life? 1993. It's the first time my wife and I ever made over $17,000. I can prove that on my Social Security list. Now what I'm saying is this. When you're doing that and you're sacrificing, and that's okay, that's right, that's proper, you know what? We made it. We just done all right. We're still alive. We raised 4 children. I don't know how, but we raised 4 children. But I just want you to understand something. It comes Christmas time. Now I'm giving you stuff. I'm an old man, so just let me go. See? You get old, you don't care what people think. You just don't care. So after you've labored a whole year, and it comes Christmas, and someone with abundance gives you a card and tells you how much they love you and appreciate you and what you've done for them, and puts a $10 bill in it. And you've labored all year. Now, I'm not talking about someone like my wife and I one day got a card with 5 $1 bills in it, and we sat and wept. You say, because it wasn't, oh, no, no, we knew the situation on this family. Each one, there was 5 in the family, and each one of them gave us a dollar, and we sat and wept. They oughtn't even give us anything. I'm serious, we wept. And thank God. But then comes along this person who has, and persons who have abundance. Pastor, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. Stick a $10 bill in there. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. I don't care what your pastor makes. I don't care what your assistant pastor makes. When it comes times when you're supposed to give to them, give to them. And quit being stingy. You understand what I'm saying? He's labored. He labors in the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. If he labors with the Word of God, we're to give to him our carnal things. We have Brother Reiser, who's assistant. We have our pastor, Jerry. And I'm just saying to you, for some reason, there's this thought that we don't want to give a pastor too much. Well, he's worthy of double honor. Double honor. Double honor. So I'm saying to you, like I said, I'm an old man. I'm trying to tell you what's good and proper and right. I'm trying to help you. Some of you can give him $100 or whatever it might be, but some of you that just has very little, just give him a little. And you don't have to be a big deal. You know what that does for the pastor? You know how that encourages his heart?
Amen.
Yes, do you understand it? Don't it, Brother Yoder? It just does something for you. You don't have to be a big deal, but let me say something to you who has abundance. You ought to give abundantly. Not just to the pastors, but to this church. Do you know, as I said, that many, many times he sits and he's up at night. I know because I was there. I know what he goes through. I was there for many years. Many nights concerned about this building out here that had been built for the last 2 years. And what would have helped is some that doesn't give out of their abundance, and we had those who did give out of their abundance. No, they gave. They gave out of their abundance. But we have some who did not. You say, how do you know that? I know God told me. He told on me. I know because I pastored you for many years. That's how I know. And you have not given out of your abundance. And he could have went home and got a good night's sleep. If all the things could have been ordered and all the school could have been done and wouldn't have been starting probably a week late and still with things to do and had to get this purchase and that purchase, and there wasn't money to do so sometimes, although that thing is paid for. Thank God for that. Every dime went into that. I mean, it's there. Every board went into it. It's paid for. But what I'm saying to you is there's some who have abundance. And all they're worried about is how many bank accounts they have. They're worried about how to protect their money and what fund to put it in so the government will protect a certain amount of money. I want to tell you, I never had to worry about that. Not once. But that's what happens. And they're worrying about that, and they have nothing laid up in heaven. No, you tell me, folks, if you've got all of this money laid up on the earth, God says, don't lay up treasures on this earth. Does He say that?
Yes.
They lay them up in heaven. Well, you better do some figuring. How much you got laid up there? How much you got laid up down here? Now, what do you think you ought to do about that? My suggestion would be to transfer out of the earthly banks into the banks of heaven. Much of your riches. Well, now, God's the one that said, don't lay it up on this earth. This preacher didn't say that. I'm just telling you what God said. And there's people who so worry about all that they're going to leave, and what are you going to leave it for? What are you going to leave it for? You better do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. That's not original, but I love it. And you know, the best thing in the world that you could do is go and transfer tomorrow, go to your banks and all your funds and transfer some of that into the work of God. There was a boy, he was a young man many years ago, and I think, if I'm right, Brother Charles, you might remember Don or some of you, or Jack, I don't know. I think it was in 78 we built that building back here. That's 30 years old, that building back here. I'm talking about the activities building. We had everything ready. We needed to pour the cement for it. Didn't have any money. Doing it like our pastor's doing. If you don't have money, you don't do it. So I just told the church, we've got to have money for that cement or we can't pour it. That's all I said. It was a little after midnight. I got this phone call. Now, I always worry when you get a call that late. One of my members answered, and I answered the phone and was talking to him, and he said, this is so-and-so. And I said, what's wrong? That's the first thing I said. Well, he said, let me tell you what it is. He said, I wish you would go and order that cement so I can get some sleep. That's exactly what he said. He said, I'll pay for all of it. Now, he was not a rich man. He's a young man with a family. He had enough to pay for that. He said, Pastor, I can't sleep. I need sleep. I got to work. Go order it. I said, well, brother, I got to wait till tomorrow. But just get it ordered, and I'll pay for it. I just want to share something with you. Some of you that have abundance and never gave out of abundance, I hope you can't sleep. I hope you can't sleep tonight. No, I hope you can't. I hope you can't sleep till you get up and go to your bank accounts and transfer it where it ought to be. And quit worrying about all of the money that you've got stored up. Because I'm going to tell you, that is not laid up in heaven. You better mark it down. Just because you've got a big bank account, I'll guarantee you something. God doesn't say, cha-ching, look at there. Boy, there's something else in heaven they got laid. No. It isn't laid up in heaven. It's laid up down here. Now you say, Brother Ross, do you think people out of abundance have given? Oh, I believe that. I believe we have people who have abundance, we would call abundance, and they give. So I'm just simply saying to you, I don't wish you any harm. But I hope you don't sleep. I hope you're awake all night and tomorrow night and the next night until you've minded God. Amen. Now you see, listen to me, folks. If you don't have that abundance and you have given out of it, you're not getting mad at this.
That's right.
You're not upset a bit about it.
Yes, sir.
Who's upset is those who just can't stand it unless they've got all of this money in their accounts. That's who's getting upset. And I hope you do. I'd like to see our pastor get some rest. Yeah, I would. I came back here in 91. Charles English has been the treasurer of this church ever since it begun. Charles English was under a lot of stress. His church, he couldn't even pay the bills. That's in 1991 when I came back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You want to tell me that there wasn't stress on Charles English? I knew there was. Well, I knew. He's just a treasurer. He didn't have all of it. But I want to tell you something. He was a treasurer and he was concerned about it. He couldn't pay the missionaries. He couldn't pay all of the missionaries. He couldn't pay the bills. The dumpster man out here came one day because I ordered a dumpster and he said, I thought this place closed down. There wasn't any, the lawn wasn't being mowed or anything. I thought, you don't want to tell me that he didn't carry the load? I mean, do you understand that it's not fair for some to pay the load and you not? It's not fair. You understand what I'm saying? That's not fair. And God would not have it so. You see, but let me say this. Giving ought to be motivated by the Lord. It ought to be directed by the Lord. I believe, and then our pastor gets up and he talks to us and he says we need to give to missions, we need to give to the building fund, we need to give to the general fund. That's what he said. You know what I do? I say, you know what? Our pastor is saying we need to do that. But I don't go ask him how much I ought to give. But I do what he says. Because he's the pastor. He's getting it from God. But I go to God and say, what should I do? What should I give? I believe that God motivates our giving and directs our giving. But let me just show you something over in the book of Acts. I'll get there in a minute. Book of Acts, let me see here. The fourth chapter. Book of Acts. First, I'm just going to read verse 13. He says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I just wanted to read that because I want to tell you something. When you've been with Jesus, things change. Things are different. They recognize the fact that these people had been with Jesus. I want to tell you, when you get into the presence of Jesus, you become a giver. No, you do. Because when you get in His presence, that's who He is. If you will notice, remember when Zacchaeus, the first thing he said when he came out of that tree and stood before the Lord? Oh, I'll give a half of my goods to the poor. Why? He was in the presence of Jesus Christ. You remember that little boy that gave 2 loaves and 5 fishes? You know why he gave them without any question, with any argument? He was in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus had requirements. I'm saying to you, when you get in Jesus' presence, it changes you. You become a giver. No matter how small it is, it could be just a couple loaves and 5 fish. It don't make any difference. But you become a giver because you're in His presence. When we look back at the Old Testament, we see where the hearts of those people were stirred up. They gave willingly. Why? Because God stirred up their heart. Jesus' presence. You remember Peter? When he came down on the seashore, and Jesus just came down and said, I want to use your boat. You remember the time when him and John was going into the temple, and he said, silver and gold have I none. But that which I have, I will give them to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, I don't have any money. He didn't have nothing in his pocket. But he gave him Jesus. Got down by the seashore and he says, I need your boat. He didn't have anything else, but he had a boat. See, Jesus don't always ask for the thousands. He asks for a boat. And Peter immediately gave it to him, and then, of course, Jesus gave it back to him full. The widow lady with Elijah had some meal, just a handful of meal. Not much. Hardly anything. But do you know why she gave it? Because there was a message came through God's man, Elijah, and God had sent him there that she ought to feed him, and she was in the presence of God, and as far as the man of God was concerned. So she said, okay, I'll do it. You see, I'm telling you something. When you get in the presence of the Lord, you become a different person. You're not stingy anymore. Unless your heart is not a giving heart. Remember the rich young ruler? He got in the presence of Jesus Christ and would not give. Jesus said, go sell all you have. Give to the poor. Oh, no. I'm so rich. See, a lot of people are doing that today. Christians are doing that today. Oh, I can't give this. I can't give that. My goodness, I wouldn't have enough in the bank for the government to have to, you know, to guarantee. And then this other account I've got. I don't know what I'm going to do about that one. God help us. True giving must be God-directed, but it must be directed to a tender heart. Okay? A heart must be tender enough to receive the directions that the Lord has for us. Brother Ross, you've got some meat. Go give it to him. Okay, Lord. That's right, I got some meat. I think Jesus was all in that widow lady giving the two mites. I think Jesus laid it on her heart to do that. She was in the presence of the Lord, and she helped to give that for the carrying of the temple. Yeah, I think Jesus was in on that. She was in the presence of the Lord. See? Now, also, giving ought to be for a good and specific purpose. Just quickly, the bread and fish, what was it for? The feeding of the 5,000. What was Peter's boat for? So Jesus could stand in the boat and preach to the people. What was the widow's mite for? It was for the need of the temple. It's always a specific purpose, folks. We don't just give helter-skelter. We give as directed by God, and God has a purpose for that giving. And what we need to do is this. Keep your eyes open for places that God wants you to give. You remember the scripture we read back in 1 John? He said, how can a man see his brother in need? Well, you've got to see him. You've got to get your eyes open. You've got to look. Maybe that butch kid that has a shirt that's all torn and he wears it every week. Maybe the Lord points that out to you. Maybe He just wants you to buy Him a shirt. Maybe some bus child don't have a pair of socks on. And you see every week that's the way they come. What do you do? Well, don't you think maybe if the Lord pointed it out to you, maybe it'd just be a good idea to buy Him some socks. Maybe He's got a floppy old piece of a pair of tennis shoes that's all cut and the soles coming off of it. He's pointed that out to you. Who do you think ought to do something about that? You come, sometimes people come and say, I think the church ought to do. Well, you're the church. You and I are the church. If God pointed it out to us, then we're the one that needs to do something about it. I just think God directs. We need to keep our eyes open. You cannot meet everybody's need. It's impossible. You cannot do that. But you can meet the needs that God says, I want you to do that. That's it. He'll point out to other people something that he wants them to do. But if he's pointing it out to you, do it. Learn to be a giver. You may not have a riches. You're not a millionaire, but you may have a cup of cold water. You may have a boat. See, all of us have something to give. All of us do. Everybody does. Peter had the boat. Peter also had a fishing pole. Jesus one day said, they want these taxes paid. Where's to pay taxes? Jesus said, now he didn't say this literally, but he said, I didn't have any money. Jesus had no silver or gold. Peter said, Lord, I don't have any. He said, Peter, take that fishing pole of yours. You got a fishing pole. Take it down and throw the line in. Jesus said, the first fish you catch, have a coin in its mouth. And you go pay those taxes for me and you. Peter went down, took his fishing pole or fishing line or whatever it was, threw it in, got that fish. He didn't have much. Oh, he didn't have any money, but he had a fishing pole. I want to tell you something. You remember that song we sing all the time, you know, I will make you fishers of men? Would you like me to sing it for you? I will make you fishers of men. You know, we do that, and most of you go like this. I don't. I go. You say, why, Brother Ross? Because I never had a rod and reel when I was a boy. I had a pole. I'd go out and cut a pole, a willow pole, or whatever it was. That's the way we went fishing. Say, Brother Ross, where'd you get that fishing line? No such thing. You see, back in my days, Mom and Dad's days, everything came wrapped up in paper with a string around it. No, some of you remember this. You go to the meat market. It wasn't tape they put on that. They wrapped tape, the string around it. That's the way they tied it up. Packages in department stores, they tied string around it. And Mom never wasted one bit of string. She always kept everything. And we used it. That's what I used on a fishing pole. See, my mother, one of those rabbits is getting ready to go here. It's Brother Mattingly. It's Brother Mattingly's fault. He left them here. And good Lord, we've got to pick them up because our pastor has plenty himself. He don't need any extra. Amen. But my mother, she never wasted anything. Nothing. She came to stay with us after Dad died for 2 or 3 weeks just to visit with us. And her and Donna was peeling apples. It must have been around this time of the year. They had some apples, putting up some apples. And when they got done, Donna took the pan of apple peelings and started outside with them. And she said, oh, no, 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 Donna, no. Oh, no, no, no. So let me have those. So what are you going to do with apple peelings? Well, I'll show you. She put them in a pan. She put water over them, boiled them, and made apple jelly. No, I'm serious. She'd get a watermelon. Not the green rind, or not the good stuff, but that in between. She used to make watermelon jelly out of that. Now some of you don't, you think I'm nuts. She used to make watermelon jelly. She never wasted anything. She'd get, when I was about 12 years old, we finally got electricity in our house. I wasn't on the sheet. We got electricity in our house when I was about 12 years old. Some of you are looking like, where is this guy coming from? And so Dad, see, up until then, you had an ice box. Ice box was all lined with metal, and the ice man would come by and give you a block of ice, and that's how you kept things cold. And then after you got electricity, well, Dad bought Mama a refrigerator that had a little bit of a freezer compartment up here. She thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world. Every time that we would get done with dinner, she'd have maybe a little bit of corn left. she'd put it in a milk carton. It used to be a carton, not a, you know, not a plastic thing. She'd pour that in there and put it back in the freezer. We'd have green beans. She'd pour them in there and put it back in the freezer. Have a little bit of meat left. She'd put that in there. I don't care what it was. She put it in there and saved it. What'd she do with it, Brother Ross? Well, when she got it full, she made vegetable soup out of it. Absolutely. She didn't waste nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, that's what I was saying. I don't know why I got off on that rabbit track. But I would take the string, and we would go fishing. And let me tell you something. Dad did keep a box of hooks around there. Box of hooks. And I would tie it onto that string. And what I would use for a floating thing, you know, like they have nowadays, you know? We didn't have those. I tied a stick. About that long, and it would float. It would hold the hook up. I mean, hold the line up. And I'd head off fishing. I'd go about a mile and a quarter away from our house. Some of you young men walk a mile and a quarter, you'd be dead. But I would go a mile and a quarter from our house straight through the woods. That was the closest way over there to a creek. Yeah, to a creek over there, and it was about 20 foot wide. It wasn't real deep, but there was a place over there where a tree had fell, and underneath that was what they call these yellow bellies. Don Riley, you're a fisherman. The yellow belly catfish. That's what I call them. I don't know what they're called. But they call them that because they're yellow on the bottom. I'd go over there and I could catch a stringer full of those things. Just put it right down where that tree was. And I'd take them home. And Dad would help me clean them and Mom would cook them up. Now, isn't that interesting? What's that got to do with the message? That's the slightest idea. I just want to tell you that Peter, everybody's got something they can give. Peter had a boat. Peter had a pole. You understand me? You've got something. Amen? No, you've got something. Don't ever say I have nothing to give. That's a blasphemous thing to say about the Lord. So let me just say, giving always has a specific purpose. We've got to be careful about that. When we give all this stuff to our bus kids, we better make sure we're doing it because there's a need. Now, I'm not saying there isn't. I'm saying God just doesn't want us to go around just giving for the sake of giving. There has to be a need.
Yes,
amen. And it always ought to be used for that specific need. Now I'm going to finish up. This thing also, listen to me, should be done. Giving ought to be done in secret. As much as possible. It is not always possible to do something in secret. But God doesn't want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. And when we boast or talk about what we did, oh, we don't do it boasting. Well, I went over and I took care of this family and, you know, and I gave them this and, you know, just something. You got your reward. You got it. Absolutely. Now, is there time when you cannot? No, there's time you cannot help. Brother Casper, I still remember. You probably don't even remember. I still remember right over here, you approached me one day and said to me, Pastor, this has been the same car I've got now. But you said, Pastor, give me the keys to your car. I thought, what do you want them for? He said, just give them to me, would you please? Trust me? I said, okay. So I'm getting the keys to my car. My car was a dirty mess. I mean, it was dirty. Pretty soon, he came back from uptown. He'd taken it uptown and washed it. Brought it back and handed him the keys and said, Pastor, I just want to clean your car up. Now, I suppose there's probably not a person in here that knows that he done that. But I've never forgot it. Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, that's the only thing? Oh, I've had multitudes of things. I just used that illustration. I've had multitudes of things that people have done for me. But I'm just simply saying, folks, you don't want to do it so the public will applaud you.
You do it the best you can to keep it in secret. Amen. That pleases the Lord. So what is it? Well, it's better to give than to receive. Now, I want to close by saying this. If we would run our marriages that way, our marriages would be helped or strengthened. Healed, let me put it that way, healed or strengthened. If we just remember it's not about us, it's about that dear partner God gave us. You see, I know you promised men when you married your wife to give her the moon. Well, until you get it, why don't you just give her a good solid husband that loves her? Amen. And ladies, until you get everything you think you want to give your husband, why don't you just be a good submissive wife? Why don't you be the helpmate that God instructed you to be? Why don't you just do that? Maybe that's not as glorious as some of the things you wanted. Why don't you just do that? You know what that'll do? That'll strengthen our marriages. Amen? So don't wait till you're rich to learn to give. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are. Help us, oh God, to be givers. Help us, Lord. Help us, please, to be more like you. In Jesus' name.